You may take your seats where you are. Kipoti, where's the Oros? I always get Oros when I come here. It's not tonight. I was looking forward to the Oros. Carl, come on. The water is good enough. Well, it's always nice to be here in Windhoek. And people welcoming us here, Carl, Maritza, and all of the people here. Feels like second home coming here. And I've been here quite often this year. But we've been driving down Nelson Mandela Road. I'm louder. I can turn it down a little bit because I'm going to shout on you tonight. No. We've been driving down Nelson Mandela Road and I thought, or Avenue. And I said to my wife, can you believe it? It's a year that's gone since we've been here. And another year's gone and a lot of things happened. But they asked me to share something here. And I honestly say this often, but tonight I think I feel more like that. Is that I feel like the little boy with the bread and the fish. I always get it wrong. Now you have to help me. Is it five bread or five fish? Five bread, two fish. I always mix it around. And then when I have that prepared, I feel like that. And I say, God, you need to multiply this because otherwise these people are going to go home hungry. And I've been praying this week and say, Holy Spirit, if you didn't turn up tonight, I've got problems. Because what I'm about to do tonight and what I'm about to share tonight is not so much teaching as such, but I'm on the water tonight. So I feel like Peter in a way. And I believe God is faithful. And I pray Ephesians 3:20 tonight that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, that He will meet us there. And He's done it so many times for me, especially in church, especially when I've been asking, Lord, just exceed my expectations. So I hope you've got expectation tonight. But an expectation not to listen or hear what I've got to say, but more to encounter Him. And I want to share a prophetic vision. You probably wonder what I want to say about this, but and how does it tie in to the rest of the weekend? But let's go to Deuteronomy 10 first, or 11, sorry, Deuteronomy 11, and then I'll explain to you what I want to see here tonight, what God wants to, I trust God wants to do tonight. It's such a beautiful scripture. I'll read it, those of you we haven't got your Bible. It says, for the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and watered it by food as a vegetable garden. You can have a look at Carl's vegetable garden. He's full of faith looking at that, watering it this afternoon, telling me about everything that's been planted there. There's potential under the ground. But the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks, and this is beautiful, I love this, I underline it in my Bible, which drinks water from the rain of heaven. It talks to me, say something to me about the dependence upon God. It drinks water from the rain of heaven, a land for which the Lord your God cares, the eyes of the Lord your God are always on it, from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve Him with all your heart, with all your soul, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. And I will send grass in your fields for your livestock, that you may eat and be filled. And if Gijs was here tonight, he could say amen there. But if you've been to Rundu, you'll understand that it's almost like that when you stand there on the rivers, Saki and Carla will know. It feels like the promised land is a description of that when Moses is writing here. But I want you to turn quickly to go back a few chapters to Deuteronomy 3. And we're just going to read a few verses from there as well. And it talks about Moses approaching God. It says, and Moses, in verse 23, then I pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do anything like your works and your mighty deeds? I pray, let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains and Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, enough of that. Speak no more to me of this matter. Listen to verse 27. It's beautiful. Go up to the top of Pisgah. I hope I pronounce this. And this is always when you stand here, you feel like, okay, here we go. And I'm going to give it a go. But I think it's Mount Nebo. Is that the right pronunciation? Nebo? Well, nobody knows, so I'll call it Nebo tonight. Nobody would know if I'm wrong. And lift your eyes toward the west, the north, the south, and the east. Behold it with your eyes, for you shall not cross over this Jordan, but command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you will see. And we'll read up to there. He talks about the promised land, but for me tonight, I want to draw a few principles from there and share something about prophetic vision. And I'm going to be honest with you tonight. When they teach you to preach, they tell you, you can't give your sermon away right from the start. You got to keep that in the pocket there so that you can keep the people their attention. You can't tell them, they have to figure it out. But they say your purpose or what you want to achieve must run through. I remember when we studied, they told us it must run like a golden thread right through your sermon. So tonight I'm going to give you the golden thread. And you don't have to worry. Like I said, I'm not here tonight, and it's not my ordinary kind of sermons that I give to share, which I think I've learned or a revelation. I'm just here to facilitate a meeting with God for all of us here tonight. I'm by far not qualified when Mac and Nadine is going to share tomorrow about parenting and marriage. I still learn a lot about that. So I know I'm not qualified, or I still learn a lot about that. And tonight, I've got the privilege of sharing from the beginning. But I believe what God wants to do, and tonight my intention is here, is to invite us up Mount Nebo to climb the mountain. And God wants to say to you tonight, look to the south, look to the north, to the east and the west. Look as far as your eyes see. I want you to notice that your eyes see. I'm here, and I've been praying this whole week. I said, God, all I want is just an encounter with you. I want people just to encounter you. Maybe you've walked in over this, or you walked in here tonight without hope, but I trust that God will give you the picture tonight. Maybe you came in here tonight, your life is falling apart, and God says, I'm going to give you a fresh picture of who I am. And so I'm not going to talk about the house, the how do we do that and all of that. I'll leave that to them. They're a lot of experts. I'm just going to, with you, climb this mountain tonight, up Mount Nebo, and encounter him. Because I tell you, he's here tonight to do that once more for all of us. There's somebody that walked in here, young man, you've come here this weekend, you busy with something that's busy destroying your life, and God is going to give you a fresh vision of your life while he sees you. He's about to set you free. He's going to give you a prophetic vision of where he's going. And again, I'm not going to talk about the detail. I'm just going to share three principles about what happens from the seeing till we possess the promised land. And you've probably heard a lot of sermons about the promised land, and I didn't want to go there. I think there's a lot of good sermons about that. Tonight, I'm just on Mount Nebo. We're going to climb that. And then I'm going to remind you of three things that's important that prophetic vision will ask of us. Maybe you're here tonight, sorry, and your marriage, maybe you heard, we're talking about marriage. You thought, well, we're going to get some tips here over this weekend. Or parenting. Somewhere in an area of your life, at work, you've lost hope. Or you're at a place where you haven't got the answers. I believe tonight God wants to invite you up the mountain and say, I've got the answer. Look to this north, look to the south, the east and the west, as far as your eyes can see. And then, I'm not going to give it away, then he's going to send you down. But Peter says, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. You see, there's a present truth, and that's what I want to talk about. The present truth that God wants to establish tonight. Peter says you are established in the present truth, when he says it in 2 Peter 1. And that just says to me that our God still speaks. Present tense. He spoke, and he's still here tonight to establish you and me with the present truth. So right where you are, I just want you to, maybe you don't have to close your eyes, just while I'm standing here, just say, God, give me my present truth tonight, what you want to say to me tonight. And it might be different, but quickly I'm going to share, and then I'm going to call the worship team back here tonight. But prophetic truth, or prophetic vision will ask for faith. Once you are on the mountain, and listen to this, God says to Moses, go up to the top of Pisgah and look west and north and south and east. Look at the land with your own eyes and we'll stop there. And we know Moses didn't go in the promised land, but there's a trick in the story. I'll come back to that later maybe. God says to Moses, Moses, look with your own eyes. Why did God say to Moses, Moses, look with your own eyes on the mountain? You know why I think God had to say that to Moses? Because what Moses was about to see was just so intense, so great, so beautiful, so far beyond his imagination. Before, and actually what the Bible says, which we prayed, Ephesians 3:20, that says, God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all. And by the way, it's not a prosperity message, so relax. I'm not into that. So I'm not here to claim any car or finances here. But God says, look with your own eyes for where I'm about to take you, for where I'm about to take this church, for where I'm about to take Namibia. And then you see that with your own eyes, because if somebody else tells you, you might not believe it tonight. You think about your marriage tonight, you think about your children, you think about your workplace tonight, and you think, it's not possible. God can say to you tonight, look with your own eyes, because I want you to see that tonight. See, they tell you, the people that write the books and study, they tell you when they write books about purity and all these things, that if you view pornography, those images are imprinted inside of you and it flashes up from certain times if you do that. Tonight, I believe in the spiritual realm, God wants to get you up on the mountain and imprint the image there. Show something there that is unique to where you are right now. That's why I can't pinpoint my message tonight. I know God is striking so many different people. Maybe you're there's some of the young people here tonight. That God's got such a great vision for tonight, and He's inviting you up there. You see, we need faith up there when we see that, because it's so immense, so great, so far beyond our ability, that the only way how we can achieve that, where God is sending us, is by faith alone. In Hebrews 11:6, I love that, but it just describes the best way, or when we ask ourselves the question, what is faith tonight? And it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. Evidence is sometimes something we can touch, or in our, now think about that. That's just what God is saying. Faith. I have to stand here for the camera. I'll do this. The camera feels like it's like, okay. Faith is the evidence in the spiritual realm tonight. God says, you're going to see, and then you're going to think, wow, God, but it can't be. I think I'm dreaming. I'm daydreaming. But then God says, you're going to need faith for that. Faith, that evidence are things not seen. You see, if we can accomplish what God shows us in our own strength, and you've heard it many times on TV, preachers say that, then you've just dreamed. You didn't have a vision. If you just accomplished that in your own strength, you just ate too much meat last night. And it had just a bad dream maybe, or a good dream, but not necessarily a God dream. And tonight God says, you will need faith for where I will take you. And the only way how you can get there is if you apply that. See, Jesus had to tell them often. I like how Jesus would get his disciples together and say, listen, guys, for what I'm about to tell you, listen, I want to tell you the truth. Have you ever thought about that? That Jesus ever lied to them? Why did he have to say to them, listen, wait a minute, this thing, I have to tell you the truth. Never lied to them before. Why would he say to them, I tell you the truth? Because what he was about to say to them would blow them so much that they would sit there and think, no, this can't be. And I think for some of us, God wants to say tonight, I want to tell you the truth. You didn't see that coming. I want to tell you the truth tonight. You see, prophetic vision. And prophetic vision is more than just, thus says the Lord. It's about the heart of God, changing into the heart of God, seeing that and becoming. Because a lot of us run around or run after prophets because I want another prophecy. But I tell you what, there's nothing more special to me than God talks to me personally. And I honor each man of God that ministered to me and I do that to people as well. But for me, if you can hear that firsthand from God and see that firsthand from God, that's much more powerful than somebody trying to convince you what they saw. You know, when God is here, a God that's personal, Emmanuel, with us, God with us tonight. You see, prophetic vision, and maybe tomorrow they'll talk about that part. Prophetic vision will ask obedience. You will see something. And this is the thing. There's a lot of people that see, but they don't necessarily possess. God says, you see that promised land? That's yours. But they're still not in the promised land. And then he says, you need to possess that. But look at verse 28. He says, but commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he will lead this people and cross and will cause them to inherit the land that you will see. And we can see clearly here, when God spoke to Moses there, there was clear instructions of how they ought to enter into the promised land. And likewise today, you know, sometimes we get that vision, we get that wow moment with God, that revelation. And then we are that place, what do I have to do now? And I believe if we are the place where we follow God, step by step, day by day, he's making it clear. There's somebody here tonight, you're in God's will, in his perfect will at the moment, where you are. But I see, as you're walking, it's like Satan is creating these side roads, and he's luring you to the side. He's saying, take this one. This is a nice opportunity. And then you suddenly stand still at that place, and it stops you in your spiritual progress. And then when you get things together, you're walking, and it creates another one. God says, I want you to put your eyes on me and forget about the roads that the enemy is creating alongside. See, prophetic vision will ask for something specific tonight. Between seeing and the possessing, there's a how in between. And we know how long it took them there to go down the mountain. This is the thing. This is the challenge nowadays. We have so many people, all they want to do is they want to be on the mountain. Revelation after revelation, and God said, I call them the God saids. Because God said, I have to brush my teeth. God said, I have to get dressed with this shirt. And then God said, I think, oh, wow, you must have a great relationship with God. God is talking to you. I feel a bit, no. You see, a lot of us, or a lot of people, they're on the mountain. And they could tell you about revelation after revelation after revelation. But God had to say to Moses, Moses, you saw that? Okay, I want you to go down the mountain now. That's enough for now. Can't stay here. You got to possess the land. You got to go down. Listen to this. Down into the valley. The land you're entering into is a land of mountains. And we all want to be on the mountaintops from time to time. And we preach that in church. And, oh, mountain, Jesus is the top, the God of the mountaintops. But he's also the God of the valleys. And we do not want to go down in the valley. God says, in order to get to the mountain again, to the other side, you got to go through the valley. You got to climb down that mountain. It's a great experience. I love that. But one thing, I promise you, is my presence. I know you will. I know you are going to be afraid. I know this. And this is the thing. If you read this whole chapter 1, 2, and 3, he's talking there about the kings of the giants. Och, and what is the other name? Bashan or Bishan. I hope I pronounce it. Yeah. Sion, not Bashan. Sorry. Not even close to that. Just gave him a new name. But the Bible are full of these two kings that were, actually, they described the one, the bed was so large because he was a giant. And the thing is, we want to stay on the mountain because it's great in God's presence. I tell you, that's the safest place I always feel. But listen, tonight I have to walk out of that door. I have to enter into the world again. I'm telling you, there's giants out there. There's things that's facing you. Tonight, you might feel safe here for an hour or two in God's presence. And your situation might be like you can just breathe for a moment. God says, it's fine, breathe. I want to show you, but then once you've done that, I want you to go and face that giant. Tomorrow I'll tell you the how to face that giant. But go down the mountain and face the giant. Go down through the valleys. Are you willing to follow me down that place? You see, God could have removed the giants for them. I mean, God could kill them. Bang! They did. But God chose not to do that.
Because God wanted to show them that he's going to work through them to accomplish what he wanted to accomplish. So that they can see. It's not us, because they are far, by far greater than this situation is by far too big for me. But I'm going to face this. And inside my legs are going like this. And God, I don't know. I think about David sometimes, you know, standing before Goliath. I don't know. If I was David, I'd probably be standing. Oh, God, you better come through. And I've practiced, and I hope I've got enough here. But God wanted them to face the giants. And through them, God came through. And every time we say, no, it's not possible, we're breaking down our faith. We're breaking down that which God has placed inside of us. Every time we say, yes, it's possible with God, not on my own strength, we build our inner man, spiritual man, I'm talking about tonight. Not strengthen myself, the New Age message about, you're great, you can do all things in your own strength. No, not that. When we keep our eyes on God, and God says tonight, and this is where I want four guys to help me here preach quickly. We haven't got along a lot of time. JP, come. Saki, two more. One more. Sorry. One more. Grab Saki. Let me see. You can stand here. There's some tools there at the back. You can grab one. Each one can grab a tool there. Saki's got some problems, serious problems. We're gonna sort him out tonight. Okay, let me see who's got what. So, JP, you need to stand here. Okay, yeah, I think that's the right order how I want to do this. Okay, remember I said prophetic vision will ask faith. We'll ask for faith. Prophetic vision will ask for obedience. So God says to Shofar, I see nations and generations. Go up the mountain, Shofar. I want you to see with your own eyes. I see nations and generations. And we say, how, Lord? And God says, kom, nou moet julle begin werk. God says, for church planting, the ground is hot. Mark, jy kan maar gaan. Ek is besig hierdie kant. Okay. I want you to shovel there. Carry on. And God says, build leaders. You need to cut his hair. You know, he needs a haircut. Just carry on. Pretend. Because you see, it needs obedience. Because God is busy creating us into his image. And he's calling us. He's giving us the tools tonight. He's saying, I know the ground is hard. I know you've seen that. I know you've got the pictures. I know you saw Rundu, and I know you went there and you were disappointed when you invited 300 people and zero turn up. Guess what? But I was there. I tell you what, that weekend was such an highlight for me because God's presence was there. And that morning God challenged me in that place. Asked me, if I'm here, is that enough for you? I tell you what, I am, for the first time in my life, I said something that I would not necessarily say. I said, I'm glad there's not so many people in this place tonight. That sounds so contrary, because God says he's here. And Denise sat there, she just felt that she needed to take a photo of this barren land, of this empty hall. It says this is a before photo, because God wants to show us, listen, it starts with me. It starts with the encounter, it starts with the on the mountain, I want you to see this. I want you to see that this place is barren, but I want you to see before that, or on the other side. Before that is bad English. Forget about that. You know what? We're joking about this, and we're talking about this afternoon, and then it happens to me, but that keeps us humble. Nevertheless, can I have the band up here? We're going somewhere. And God says, no, you can stay here. You're not finished. You are tired now. You can rest. Just stand like that. Forget about them. Is there any band members you have to take over here? You've got a replacement here. Are you the new leader? Great. See? One more thing. And then we're going to pray. I promised you. I don't want to preach long. Because I don't think this is not the point tonight. It's
what God wants to do personally here tonight for people. He wants to set you free, wants to give you a vision, and we send you out here this weekend, you will not be the same again. You see, we grow tired. And that's what the Lord spoke to us other that weekend. He said, I'll test your faithfulness through your perseverance. So we wanted to go there, invite 300 people, and we're going to have a great service, praise God, and we come back. Yo, man, 40 people, 50 people, I trust God for 30. Okay, I'd say 10% at least. You know, and it was 30 of us. Actually, it wasn't 30 of the town. Came back there refreshed. And nevertheless, God challenged me. And I believe in your own life where you are right now. Your marriage, your children, your work situation, your ministry. There's somebody God is talking to you about children's ministry for a while. I don't know who it might be. Anyway, and God says, I've been talking to you. I want perseverance. You see, we grow tired along the way. We get the vision. Then we go down the mountain. Then we're in the valley. And then we kind of forget about the vision, what we saw, about the nations and generations. And our eyes get distracted on other things. And then we stop working. But I want you to see this tonight. This is a beautiful, this is so, so beautiful. God says to him in 3:28, he says, encourage, he says to Moses, commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he will lead this people. But there's even more. I want to say to you tonight that prophetic vision will keep you running while others have stopped running. Prophetic vision tonight will keep you fighting while others have stopped fighting for the good cause. And prophetic vision will keep you hoping while others stopped hoped or having any hope. And I'll finish with a story in 2 Kings 13, verse 18. The Bible says that Elijah was on his deathbed, was about to die. And Elijah. He meets King Joash, the king. And Joash comes to him and says, oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen. And Elijah said to him, take a bow and some arrows. So he took himself a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, put his hand on it. And Elijah put his hands on the king's hands. And he said, open the east window. And he opened it. Then Elijah said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow, listen to this, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them. And there it goes. And then he said, take the arrow. So he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. So he struck the three times and stopped. And the man of God was angry with him, and he said, you should have struck 5 or 6 times, then you would have struck Syria till you have destroyed it, but now you will strike Syria only 3 times. You see, we're on the mountain. God invites us up there, and we have that great moment with God, and then we come down, and then we start. And I grow tired, and I stop. I said, God, I just can't anymore. God says, no. Keep on pounding the ground. Keep on pounding the ground. Let's just close our eyes where you are. Keep on digging. Keep on shoveling. Keep on building churches. Keep on seeing the nations and generations. Keep on doing what I called you to do. Do not stop doing that. Just keep on doing that. Your marriage, keep on. Keep on. I know you feel. Maybe you sit here tonight and you've lost hope in an area. God wants to say to you tonight, keep on. Keep on pounding the ground. Keep on pounding the ground. Because I'm about to break through. While nobody is looking around, you've lost hope tonight. And you say, God, I want to get up on that mountain tonight. And so all we're going to do is we're going to pray that God will show you again, that He will ask you tonight again to look to this north, to the south, to the east and to the west. Say, look with your own eyes. While nobody is looking around, I just want you to, if you know that God is talking to you tonight in an area of your life where you need to go up the mountain tonight, say, God, I need to get up to the mountain tonight to get that vision again. Nobody looking around, just to give me an indication, say, Jacob, pray for me, pray with me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. There's someone here. God is showing you a picture. You're standing in a
in a land that was barren, and alongside you it starts raining, and it's raining on you, and when it's raining on you, it's becoming green around you. There's someone here tonight, you're standing here in the midst of rubble, and it's almost like I see Jesus, the builder, building the house around you again. What I want you to do is you feel tonight, God, I want to get up on that mountain tonight again. I just want to look to the north, to the south, to the east and the west, just to stand where you are. And we're just going to pray with you. God wants to show you. It's not about our word. It's not about that I've got a word here for you tonight. It's about what God wants to show you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe you sit here tonight. Your life is in a mess. I do not know. I do not know the people that's here. But maybe you need a fresh start tonight. So God, I need a fresh start. I've messed up. And I feel I've disappointed you, Lord. God is inviting you back tonight. Say, I'm giving you a second chance tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Guess what we're going to do? We're just going to worship. And where you're standing, I want you just to focus on Him. God is going to ask you tonight to look to the north, to the south, the east, and the west, and say, I want to give you hope tonight. I clear your vision tonight again. I imprint that in your... And while we're going to worship, God is just going to show you something new tonight. For some of us, I feel that somebody, God called you to something specifically. And the reason why God is calling you up the mountain tonight is to show you the same picture again. It hasn't changed. Just to remind you of where He called you. Thank you, Jesus.